Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Talking with Heroes talk show program. I want to welcome everybody to the program, those of you listening live tonight, and those of you listening weeks and months down the road. I am Bob Calvert. I'm the founder of TalkingWithHeroes.com. If you want to find out about our 9 years history, just add a /about to TalkingWithHeroes.com. We also have an online news site where we add stories pretty much daily for, by, and about our troops, our veterans, families, caregivers, and those organizations like we're going to be hearing about tonight who are out there helping. It's www.thankyouforyourservice.us. Real quick, for those of you listening for the first time, we've been on the air since December 2005. Initially, around the first year or so, it was all audio like we've been doing now for the last 3 years. And then from 2006 to 2011, it was all video on 5 trips to Iraq and 3 to Afghanistan, documenting with our troops. They're mostly unheard, even mostly today, positive and progress stories, what they were actually doing to help the people. That took us out into the villages on many missions and inside the wire and outside the wire. And we have over 300 video episodes, all unedited footage with them on our YouTube page. And we're over 278,000 who have watched one or more. And notice it's been increasing about 2,000 a week lately with all these new audio programs we're doing. And then for the last 9 months now, we've been working with a strategic partnership with an alliance of now over 50 military-supported veterans groups, most of whom are led by veterans and caregivers and family members. It's the R4 Alliance, www.r4alliance.org. It's letter R, number 4, alliance.org. And if you've missed any of the previous programs we have done with over 35 of their members, just go to our news site, again, thankyouforyourservice.us, and click on the story on the left-hand side of the page that says TalkingWithHeroes.com features new programs with members of R4 Alliance. And many of you know that for the 24th to the 27th of April, Andy LaPointe and his son Ryan LaPointe and I went to the Face of America ride in D.C., 110 miles from the Pentagon, to Gettysburg with 600 riders, and there's literally hundreds and hundreds of pictures already online, and within a week or so, we'll have about 14 video episodes. Incredible, incredible experience, like nothing I've ever experienced before. So we're real excited. I'm glad I was able to get to do that. But, you know, tonight we're going to hear about some more rides with wounded warriors, with veterans. And so another member of the R4 Alliance called Ride the Number 2 Recovery. And we're going to be talking with Navy veteran Jonathan Dade. Welcome, Jonathan, to the program, and thank you for your service.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, glad to talk with you on the air. And if you don't mind, you know, I've been reading about your background and your 6 years of service with the Navy and kind of some of the things that happened afterwards that maybe led you to do what you're doing now. But if you don't mind sharing with people a little bit of your background, you know, what led you to go to the Navy, and just talk a little bit about your service.
Well, sure, Bob. Well, for me, my dad was also a service member. He served in the Air Force. And when he got out of the military, he worked for defense contractors for pretty much ever. He's been with the same one since as long as I can remember. So we've always kind of grown up around military towns. And the thing about military towns is they always have a culture about, you know, if you turn 18 and you don't really know what you want to do with life, or you just really want to serve your country, that's the route to take. So I did exactly that. I went to college, but I was a part of an ROTC-type program. And I went to the military right after I graduated. I served as a Navy officer for about 6 years, and I got out as lieutenant junior grade. Just one of the tough things about serving your country, especially during a time of conflict, is you will possibly be engaged in that conflict. And that was something I did for most of the time I was serving. Something I like to tell people is out of the 6 years I was in the Navy, I spent 5 years deployed overseas away from family, where I don't get to spend the holidays with people that you know. And if you just imagine that, just the world you know for 6 years going somewhere else, and then only one of those years you getting to spend the holidays with your family, it's definitely a trade-off a lot of servicemen and women make for their country. But I definitely enjoyed my time in the military. I did a little bit of security. I was a medical officer for a little while. I also did a very short stint as an air defense artillery officer with the Army, doing an IA tour. And all that time away from family, all that time witnessing things that we typically don't really want to have to witness, and being trained for the, you know, just worst case scenarios, I got really depressed when I came out of the military and didn't really know where I fit and didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. And that's where different veterans programs really came and supported me. So that's the short of it.
Okay. Now, you mentioned here that after your 6 years of service, you were experiencing like back pains and post-traumatic stress or PTS. And, you know, you talked about how you struggled with that. And how did you get help for that?
Well, the worst part about any time you deal with anything mental or psychological is the military teaches us not to complain about things. It teaches mm-hmm. us just to, you know, to soldier on and just to go through it. So at first I wasn't. For about 2 years, from 2009 to 2011, I wasn't seeking help. I was gaining weight. I was distanced from society. I was nowhere near what I could be. And a friend noticed that I was not, I wasn't improving. And unfortunately, I was probably struggling with what a lot of veterans lose the battle to, and that's suicidal thoughts. And he recommended that I try Ride to Recovery, which is a veteran cycling program. It puts veterans on bicycles, basically, and ride amazing distances. Anything from you missing a leg to you just struggling mentally, and you get on a bicycle and overcome a challenge. And it's therapeutic. And I hadn't been on a bicycle since high school. And my wife was laughing at me at first because she was like, "Are you sure you're going to be able to make the ride?" And I did. And that's how I found it, was a friend telling me about it.
Well, yeah, like I said in the beginning, I just experienced this for 3 days and saw firsthand what you're saying. I mean, listen to the conversations between teams and team members. And I mean, it was incredible. So so you started cycling yourself then, instead of what? Were you still going to doctors or using medication? Did the cycling kind of help you get off some of that stuff?
Well, Bob, that's actually the funny thing is, cycling is what I turned to instead of medications and going to the doctor.
Okay.
Since leaving the military, I haven't seen any psychologists. I haven't done the group therapy. I haven't been on any antidepressants. Cycling is what's really changed things around. I remember before leaving the military, I had one psychologist that said a lot of psychological issues you go through, you never really heal from them. They're always part of you. And one of the things, for example, I struggled with, it's kind of a byproduct, if you will, of things I was going through, was I couldn't connect with people, specifically like eye contact. In the military, I was really, really good at it, but when I got out of the military, I just struggled with eye contact with people. And you think there's not really a medication you can take for that other than like an antidepressant. And you try to do group therapy or social, you know, psychology, and that doesn't really help. But being on the bike and seeing other cyclists who struggle with whatever they're struggling with, and they still go out and ride amazing distances, and I cycle with them, I talk with them, it forced me to look at them, talk to them, connect with them. And that's basically my therapy, to be able to just do something as simple as eye contact. And when you multiply that across everything, from exercising my back and keeping it aligned to whatever I'm struggling with, it truly is my go-to. I didn't even start even looking at going to the VA to look at how doctors can fix things, because cycling does it for me.
Wow. So now we have a link on your talk show page to a blog you put together about your 2015 challenge?
Yes.
What? Talk about that.
Okay, so this was it's one of the longer rides. It's in Texas, and And the saying around here is everything is bigger in Texas. So what it is over 200 of these wounded veterans, they cycle all the way from Houston to Fort Worth, which is, if you're driving in a car as the eagle flies more or less straight up in 35, it's about almost 300 miles. But obviously we're taking service roads and routes more appropriate for bicycles. So it's about 490
sure.
miles total. And some of that, you've got headwinds. Some of it, you're climbing a lot of feet, especially when you go into Georgetown to Killeen. And you've just got a group of people that you would think are not physically able to cycle that sort of a distance for whatever reason. I mean, there's guys on the ride. There's one guy who literally only has one arm that's fully functioning. The other arm was lost in a blast. His legs were lost in a blast. And he's on a bicycle that's custom outfit just for him. And then you've got
right.
someone like myself who might be more physically fit, but I do a lot of pushing. So people, like, those have bars on their bicycle, and then you push them, especially, like, uphills and across the long distances. So that's the kind of ride we do across 6 days. And accomplishing that mission, if you will, together is the therapy. So that's the route we just did, and that's the work we did. And there's... You go through every town. You've got, you know, the mayors, the police chief, the fire stations. Everyone's out supporting you. That's the physical and mental healing that a lot of our veterans are looking for.
Yeah, we just saw all of that. The people out in the streets, and then we saw a lot of like sometimes one on each side of a. With I remember what it's called, but it's like a long stick, and then they're kind of helping that person who's
yes.
almost laying down in the bike get up that hill yes. and just help them push along. Yeah, so that's what you were doing. That's neat. So
well,
Yes,
and it's cool too, because when you look at drafting and aerodynamics, most cycling groups will get in two rows called a peloton. And basically, the people on the front part of the rows take all the brunt of the wind, and the people in the back
mm-hmm.
can save as much as 40% of their energy by drafting behind the people in front. But it's very interesting. Our veterans groups, we do the exact opposite, which is we put some of our weakest cyclists or some of our hand cycles and the people that are missing limbs on the front of the peloton, and they're taking all the wind and all the draft, but then everyone else pushes them everywhere, you know, anywhere that they're struggling. And just a reference, if you will. So when Lance Armstrong won the Tour de France, he averaged about 25.1 or 24.9 miles per hour. And it's a lot of miles, but that's about how fast he averaged. Well, the A group, so the ride to recovery breaks up into four groups according to speed and level, and I was typically an A group. And the A group was able to do about 25-mile segments three or four different times of their ride to recovery challenge at a little bit over 25 miles per hour. So just giving you an idea of the speeds we're accomplishing, even with people that are not, you would think they can't do that. And this is them
right.
doing it on top of pushing people that just would not be able to do those kind of speeds on their own. So just giving you a reference, if you will.
Absolutely. So have you had more than one ride with Ride to Recovery, or was that your first?
Well, so my first was in 2012, the one my friend told me to do. And that was the hottest day in Washington, D.C. that year. And a lot of riders were struggling making it through the challenge and up the hills and in the heat. And I actually made it. I remember my wife was at the finish line. And she saw the first group come in, and she was concerned I wouldn't make it, but I made it. And I was on a borrowed bike from a friend. So if you imagine a guy at 6 foot, on a friend's bike, and my friend is about 5'2". It kind of looked like a clown in a clown car kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I made
it. That'd be like me and you.
Yeah. And then I bought a bike the following year, and then I did the whole week.
Excellent. So the different rides you were on, I noticed on the Face of America ride, people were there from across the country. Was that the same
yes.
experience you had? Okay.
Well, yeah, there's I want to say there's maybe six or seven rides in the state. There's one in California, one in D.C., one in Florida, one in Texas, one in New York, maybe one in the Illinois area, and I can't remember the other one or two. And then there's one overseas. And I've done the Texas one because it's one of the most miles, and I've done the D.C. one because I used to live out there. And my next goal is to try to do the California one, but I hear that that's the one that has the most altitude change, where I think one of the days is a century day, which is over 100 miles, and you climb 10,000 feet. So I'm not sure if you're ready for that.
Yeah, that's a lot. So, folks, for you listening, ride the number 2recovery.com. It'll tell you more about this organization. And then, let's see, they're on Facebook, right, as ride-2-recovery. And then on Twitter, it's ride_2_recovery. Did I get that right?
Yes, yes.
Pretty sure I did. Okay, great. So when's your next ride?
I'm looking at, I set my sights on doing the California ride because it has so much altitude change. When you think about depression, you think about anxiety, you think about what can I accomplish without medication? What can I accomplish without psychologists? So I figure that would be my next accomplishment, or doing the ride overseas. And you actually have to get invited to these rides. They cap them at about 200 veterans. And so I'm hoping that I'll be able to get in one of those rides next.
You said overseas?
Yes, there's a ride in Europe typically, and I think this year they're going from a part of Germany to another part of Europe. I don't remember where, but yeah, they do one ride overseas every year.
So you'd be probably riding with veterans from other countries, probably European countries or something.
Yeah, and I heard that. They have different service members from different armed forces in Europe that will actually ride with you during different sections. And I heard that the Europe one, they even go through parts of Holland or something like that, and then they even do one part of the route on the Tour de France. And I would love to do that so I can kind of like, you know, feel like I was in the Tour de France, but not really, you know?
Yeah, your wife and family probably want to go with you for that too, right?
Oh, that would be a dream come true. My wife, sure. This past year, she's watched how much cycling has really, truly, I mean, I'm not just saying this, but it's made me a better person, to the point that she's wanted to cycle with me. So we actually bought a tandem, and she cycles with me on a tandem at least once a week. And during this ride this past week, she cycled with me for one of the days from Georgetown to Killeen. And for her, she is finally getting to see and feel how much it means. So if we got to go to Europe, oh, that would be like that Make-A-Wish Foundation kind of thing, you know?
There you go. Absolutely. Yeah, I did see some of the tandem bikes there. There was one, I think it was a father and a son. And then there was another one with man and woman. I didn't know whether it was a husband or wife, but it could have been. No. Wow, that's neat.
Yeah, I got to actually talk to the man and the woman. They actually don't know each other, but the lady, she's blind. She's legally blind. And so she doesn't get to cycle on her own. But just imagine the freeing feeling of you not being able to see, so you can't ride a bicycle. Let alone walk, you know, somewhere by yourself or without your dog or your cane. So she got to cycle that many miles. She was the stoker, or the person on the back, and the captain, the person in the front, was essentially her eyes. So it's a lot of trust. I remember I talked to one blind person that was on a tandem, and they said that it was really, really fun up until one point where they felt themselves in the air, and they thought they were imagining something until they hit something, but they really, you know, crashed. And what's funny was I was like, and the only reason I'm laughing about it, because I'm like, man, wouldn't that be scary? And he's like, yeah, but you still don't understand how freeing it is to be on a bicycle. So he was able to get right back on because, you know, he had a helmet on and he was safe and keep going. So a little bit risky, but it's, apparently they find that it's very freeing.
Wow. I was, this is interesting hearing you, because I was just telling the people we were helped with World Team Sports and Richard Reinhardt and Andy and LaPlante, who's with me, we're together, that I'd like to do this next year at the Face of America. but with all the surgeries I've been through since my last trip overseas, I didn't know whether that would be possible. But then watching all the riders, I thought, okay, I would just have to, according to my physical condition, decide what kind of bike, right?
Right. You would. And, Bob, I will tell you one thing. If you weren't able to find your own bike, I have a tandem, and I would commit to having you ride with me if that's what it took. I mean, it's about the camaraderie.
Wow.
It's about what you can do in the group. And if you rode a couple miles and you needed a push, just you hop on that tandem and we'll ride it together.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I after this experience, and people will understand when they watch the videos, and because you've been on these rides, so you know, you've been there. But people that have never been, when they watch these videos, I mean, yeah, I wanted to be able to do some. I'd like to cover another ride, if possible, before the end of the year. I think that would be really great. Texas would have been nice, because I'm probably going to be spending a good part of July after my next surgery down there. My brother's stationed in San Antonio. Tell people a little bit about the organization Ride to Recovery, and how do people, you know, find out more about it, maybe register for a ride, that kind of thing.
So Ride to Recovery was originally started when, I'm not sure which veterans group, but a veterans group had contacted John Wardine, who was a professional cyclist. So he was someone that was on cycling teams, you know, winning medals, winning races. And they said, hey, we want to try to find a way to encourage and enable veterans through something like cycling, which is relatively safe. It's relatively easier to do than, let's say, running or hiking or something like that if you're you know, severely disabled. And he said, okay. So they put together a program, and it was really John Wardine's, I guess, vision, if you will. And it started with maybe about 15 riders that first year. And it's grown to the point that they literally have to cap it at about 200 riders. And it started with just one challenge, and now it has 7 challenges each year. And really, you get referred to it either through Project Hero, which is like a wounded warrior kind of warrior transition unit program that you'll find at your bases when you're transitioning out of the military. Or in a situation like myself, you have a friend or a colleague or a fellow sailor or soldier or Marine or airman who did the program, did a ride, and realized how amazing it is, and then they frankly realize you need it too, and they tell you, so word of mouth. And then, of course, online is where people sign up. You go to ride, and then the number 2recovery.com, and the logo has a big 2 in the middle. You can make sure you're looking at the right thing, and you just sign up for one of the rides. Any person, any civilian, military person, a regular, you know, person off the street can sign up for one day of the challenge easily. So even though there's 7-day challenges, 6-day challenges, someone can sign up just for day 3 or just day 2 or just day 1, kind of like I did my first year. And just being around those people give you a taste of what they're doing. You might get addicted and become a cyclist, but that's a good thing. Side effects are good.
Sure. Absolutely. So is there another part to the Ride to Recovery rides where volunteers can help? Maybe I noticed it's a Face America, corporations, individuals. So can people volunteer to help with making the rides happen and on the ride?
Oh, of course. If you're one of the cities that Ride to Recovery is cycling through or stopping at, those are one of the best ways to volunteer, helping put together something for the riders to really support them, cheer them on. You can also volunteer to be part of the Ride to Recovery, you know, like the support cars, the chase cars, support staff. A lot of their, it's a nonprofit organization, so a lot of their individuals are obviously volunteer, and you can support that way. The last way is if you're any way associated with a business organization, you can, of course, you know, support by sponsoring everything from helping with jerseys to helping give nutrition. I mean, it's an amazing thing, and especially if any nutrition-type folks, there's no way to figure out whether or not your product is successful than seeing which items the riders go to when they're at a rest stop, you know?
Absolutely. Wow. And now, is there also a component to these rides, raising funds for charities?
Well, yes. Although all the veterans actually cycle for quote-unquote free, the only expense they incur would be their airfare to the location and back. All the hotels, rooms are donated, all the All the equipment is donated. Everything is donated. But some of the veterans, depending on what company they're working for or their disability level, they might fundraise. I worked for Frito-Lay for one of the years. I fundraised with them. I also fundraised with my church because the funds obviously go to the program and then to make customized bicycles for people that really, really need them.
That's neat. Well, I want to thank your company and your church for doing that. That's really good. We appreciate that. Okay, well, anything else you'd like to share with people about what, you know, Ride to Recovery or how they can get involved?
Well, the biggest thing I want to tell people is no matter what you think you can or can't do, I just encourage everyone out there, even if you're not a cyclist, you're not an athlete, you're not a wounded veteran, is just to try. You never realize what you can do until you try. I literally hadn't touched a bicycle since high school, and when someone told me about the program, I said, I'm going to ride 50 miles. And the speed was fast, and there was a lot of riding, but I got on a bike, and I actually finished that day, and I made it through. You know, people think you have to train for something. You have to train for a marathon. You have to train for a big event. But you never know what you can do until you try. And that's the thing that I think, really, if anyone could take away from these rides, is recognizing the power of just trying.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I haven't been on a bike in probably 40 years. But, you know, I did do a lot of riding in my younger years. So yeah, I'm going to have to consider getting on one of these rides. At least it'd be nice to go out and cover another ride like we just did, you know, with video and interviews and all that, and then put it out there for the organization to benefit from, but also to be part of the ride, some of it. So, well, let me know next time if you have a little advance notice about when you're going on a ride again.
Yes, sir. I definitely will do.
Okay. I appreciate that. Okay, well, I never like to end a program without giving you, and I'm going to do the same thing, an opportunity to give a shout-out to our troops. As you know, that we have troops all over, back in Iraq, Afghanistan, so many different places, Africa and Asia. So why don't you go ahead and give a shout-out to them?
Well, first of all, a shout-out to all my Navy guys out there. Hoorah! But anyway, for anyone in the Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, Army, we're obviously supporting you. America stands behind you. When you come back to the States, we stand behind you. You just find someone that's ready to support you, and we definitely love everything you're doing over there.
Absolutely. And they'll be able to see it when they watch the videos as the riders go through different communities, like you were saying, the people come out and wave and cheer and thank you, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Jonathan Dade, Navy veteran, with RideToRecovery.com, a rider and helping with the organization. I appreciate you taking your time tonight to share all this with us.
No, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, God bless you, and I'm sure we'll talk more. I'll email you, by the way, after I get all the new talk show page we just did for you out.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. Well, folks, you've been listening on TalkingWithHeroes.com, another one of our Thursday night series that we've been doing now for pretty much around 9 months, all with members each week of the R4Alliance.org. We've had some caregiver programs. We've had some young people talking about their experiences growing up in a military family, and just amazing men and women that I have the privilege and honor to talk with on the air. So I'm real excited about that. So check out the news site, thankyouforyourservice.us, and please share these programs. We have a new video and audio channel now that's really growing fast. It's AmeristreamLive.com/talkingwithheroes. Amazing owner Perry Mano, who offered to set up his channel for us, it's already growing. And so we're going to continue putting future programs on there, audio and video too. So before we close, to all of our men and women who are serving, who have served, and your families, thank you for your service to our country. And for those of you who may right now be in harm's way, be safe, stay alert, God bless you, God bless America.